Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeta, Evan Basilek, Russell Young, and Sujeet DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information, should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 208, being recorded on the 13th of December, 2017, with special guest Kendall Roden. I'm Sujeet, and it's got with me, I have Kale, Evan, and Kendall. Of course, our colleague from the UK, Russell, couldn't join us today. Interestingly, he doesn't really get good internet at his house. That's what he says. He has to use like a wireless internet when he's home, so it becomes tricky for him sometimes. What do you guys think about the show that he did last week?
Yeah, no, I mean, we finally took the training wheels off him, and he did great. So, no, I actually sent him an email, and said, hey, your intro is way better than when Kale and I try and do it ourselves without Sujeet. So
he did a good job indeed. And his guest was also from the UK, so it was kind of like an all UK episode for them, which is nice. Well, today we're all US, this time. So we'll let's get started on that, on some of the recent updates in the Azure space. And thank you guys for putting a lot of links in the show notes. Evan, I know there's a few in there that you'd like to jump at.
Yeah, I think the first one, just kind of looping back to a previous podcast. Remember, we had Christus Vohr on, maybe a month and a half ago, something like that. And, you know, we talked to her about quantum computing, and she mentioned the development kit. Well, the development kit released earlier this week. Yep. So, you know, she wasn't kidding when she said something was coming very soon.
Exactly.
Definitely encourage people to go check that out.
And it's Q-Sharp is the official name of the language. I don't think a name was given to it at the time when she was on the
podcast. Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
It was, or maybe she knew and she didn't want to reveal it. But interesting name, Q-Sharp. So time to take a look at quantum computing there. Although they showed some pictures of the actual quantum computing computer, and looks quite futuristic, kind of like, you know, Star Wars like. So
looks like a medieval torture device.
Is that how you saw it? Okay, we were looking at different things. You're watching too much Game of Thrones there, Kale. That's the problem. That was a good update. Thanks, Evan. Kale, what do you want to pick up?
Yeah, I had one here on the cloud storage. Picking on our base layer, like blob storage, there's actually something went GA here, the archival storage. So people are probably familiar. We have different levels, like a tiered kind of storage solution there based on whether it's hot or cold or cool. And we have these archive tiers. So basically, there's a blog post out there kind of talking about this thing going GA and what the pricing was. Apparently it's super attractive. I think it's they say it's industry leading at 0.2 cents per gigabyte per month in archival, so it's ridiculously cheap. You can obviously move your data between, you know, these different tiers depending on how frequent you're going to access it, and then the pricing kind of falls in line with that.
Right. Yeah, it's just, I think very soon they might give away the storage for free, who knows. It's just suddenly coming down to a very small number.
A funny anecdote there, if anybody watches the Silicon Valley show on HBO, they actually mentioned Azure on there, and it was about storage, and it was about this. It was like, hey,
I thought that show was set in the past. Is it? I don't watch it. Is it? So it's set in the now? So
yeah. He was like, hey, guys, all our data went to the hot tier for some reason, and we basically blew through all our credits in Azure. And I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
I so have to go get that clip. I'm going to have to go find that now.
That happens to me all the time. It blew through my credit every month. Oh, that's funny.
awesome.
Good one. Good one, Gail. Okay, yeah, so there's also an update on the automation run books, and now they have these concept of action groups that you can set up. And so when you run an automation job, you can associate it with one of these action groups. And what that allows you to do is to, when the job runs, you can you can take some action from any alerts that it generates in case. So, you know, you can alert SMS, email, whatever. You know, so it's kind of easy to associate automation runbooks with specific actions that you want to take based on alerts that it generates. And Evan, I noticed there's one SQL one there.
Yeah, that's one. So we've kind of talked about this in the past, and I'm actually going to reach out to Connor. I know him back from the SQL Azure days, but. You know, we'll put the blog in the show notes because I think it's a really good commentary on kind of how the cloud helps on-premises, right? Sometimes people think about them like cloud is trying to, you know, eat on-premises or trying to, you know, eliminate on-premises. And no, they really go hand in hand. There are customers out there that won't be able to go to the cloud for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And they want to use the same products. And, you know, we talked about SQL before. It's the same code base running both environments. You know, a couple different flags, a couple different features turned on. But it's the same code base. So things that we push in cloud can very quickly go on-premises. And things that we invent for on-premises, you know, we'll test them in the cloud first. And so it really becomes this nice harmony where, you know, a lot of the scariness of, you know, patches and service packs and everything, you know, back in the day really has gone away to a large extent. You know, not to mention, you know, some of the things that it's funny. This is the first time I've ever seen a dev – somebody in engineering talk about, yeah, you know, sometimes we would ship a feature when the product shipped, even though the feature wasn't ready because we were going to miss the feature deadline. Right? They almost kind of admit that some of the stuff wasn't quite ready to go out the door. You know, but in this case, right now, because we're shipping, you know, Azure all the time, you don't ship it till it's ready. Right? If it takes an extra week, it takes an extra week, right? Get it out there and get it stable. And that really benefits on-premises as well, because now we can guarantee that whatever goes in there is good and is solid and has been well-tested.
Right, and it's all that SDLC, the agile methodology, right?
Yeah, yep.
Sure, a few features done often.
Yep. I remember the days in SQL Azure where we would have like these major, like once a month, I think they might have been a little bit more frequent than that, but you know, pretty frequent or pretty infrequent upgrades. Mm-hmm. And something would go wrong, and we'd spend weeks trying to figure out what was it, how do we reverse it, how do we reverse just that without losing everything else. And now, you know, to your point, now we just ship little things all the time, and then if something breaks, you back out that one little thing because you know exactly what you applied, and you know the blast radius is pretty small if you have to roll that back.
Yep. Good. And so notice no blockchain articles this time. Kale, what's going on? Seems quiet in that area.
Calm before the storm. That's
Calm
all.
Before the storm, yeah. I mean, we know. Everyone's too busy buying or selling Bitcoin. That's the problem. No one's actually doing anything with the underlying architecture.
No, okay. There's good stuff happening there. Stay tuned. You know, okay. We'll have some stuff on future. Yeah.
All right. Great. All right, so let's move on to our special guest, Kendall. Kendall, thank you for taking the time to join us on the podcast today, and please introduce yourself to our listeners, and then we can dive into, you know, what you like about Azure and how you got up to speed on it from your college days. Go ahead.
Awesome, Sujeet. Thank you so much, and thank you, Evan and Kale, for having me. I'm excited to be here today and talk a little bit about Azure and kind of how I've moved into this space coming out of college. First and foremost, I just want to give a round of applause to all of you for having the level of knowledge that you do, because I know I hear what you have to say and just hope that someday I can get to that level where I can talk in such a productive way about the new things that are going on in Azure. And I just feel like there's always something new to learn. That's definitely something that excites me and also intimidates me. So like Sujeet said, my name is Kendall Roden. I'm 23 years old, recently graduated, and have been working at Microsoft for about a year and a half now as a technical consultant. So I work in the app space, mostly doing C# server-side development, but have had a really unique opportunity to learn a little bit about Azure and get exposed to that early in my career, which has been really truly an awesome experience and a really neat learning opportunity. So I've enjoyed it, and I'm happy to be here.
Great. And again, thanks for coming on. So, you know, remind us, I mean, obviously it's been a while since I was in college. So, and back in the day, we had like mainframe computers and whatnot that we had to use. So these days, when you come out of college, what's the level of preparedness that students have, especially as it relates to anything related to the cloud?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And one thing that I have learned through the Microsoft Academy of College Hires, which I'm a member of, is that you're going to get a lot of different levels of understanding when it comes to cloud computing. I know when I was in college, I went to the University of Alabama, Roll Tide, had to throw that in there. But I know that we got a lot of exposure to the Microsoft stack, which I appreciate considering that I did come on to join Microsoft. And so I think that there is a lot of tangible and experiential learning that I had regarding cloud computing, but I think there was a lot of context that I did lack. And so I think that that's one thing I've seen with some of my other colleagues that have started with me, is that you may hear about and learn about some of these lofty concepts, and you may even get some exposure to them. But in terms of understanding how it fits in with the entire development lifecycle and exactly how Azure can be leveraged, I think that's sometimes difficult, because I think especially when you're in school and your head's down and you're studying, and yes, you're getting some of that that technical experience and some of that kind of exposure, like I said, I don't necessarily know if you get the end-to-end understanding of exactly where Azure fits in, because you're so focused on maybe that specific learning opportunity, whether the class is learning C# or learning about databases. Sometimes I think you miss out on getting a little bit more of that integration with, okay, well, how does this relate to the cloud and what are some of the emerging technologies? I don't necessarily feel like I got all of that I would have liked to have.
Okay, yeah, that kind of makes sense. You know, I've been also interviewing some of the mocks, as we call them, and I've noticed a similar pattern where, you know, they kind of have an idea what cloud computing is, but if you, like many of them have not actually used any sort of cloud platform in college. Some of them have done a project or so in AWS, maybe, right, because that's fairly popular in the universities. But for sure, very few of them, you know, may have actually used or heard about Azure.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, just because coming into Microsoft, I feel like I had preconceived notions about what I understood about the cloud. So you come in with the, you know, the Silicon Valley references, and you come in with maybe the experience that you did get, you know, the little exposure that you had, you use that to as a lens through which you learn everything else. Mm-hmm. So I think it's been really interesting kind of decomposing the, you know, the ways that I learned about cloud and some of the maybe the things that weren't necessarily true, or some of the ideas that I had that wouldn't necessarily be technically correct, and kind of figuring out how to navigate between my preconceived notions and the reality of what the cloud actually is. It can seem like a very intangible thing. So I think making that real, which I believe is, I think, the name of your podcast, just like making the idea real and less lofty has been, was kind of the first step for me.
Can you share some of the, I mean, I know, you know, so when I talk to my family and you know, some of my friends that are not in the IT world, yes, I do have some friends that are not in the IT world, they'll ask me what I do. Well, I support Azure. What's Azure? And I'll be honest, I like Office 365, people kind of get, in my experience, right? They get email, they get SharePoint as a website. They don't care where it's hosted, right? You know, and they kind of get Office being delivered that way. But like Azure, in my experience, you know, somebody who's not an IT pro, you know, so somebody who doesn't work in the IT business day in, day out, you know, managing servers, managing deployments, like they don't necessarily get. Is that kind of where you were coming in as well? You were talking about some of your preconceived notions, or, you know, or were you coming from even a totally different place than that?
I think it's similar, maybe not as extreme. I know that I actually wrote down some notes about this earlier, because I do think explaining the cloud to people who are not technical has been one of the best experiments I've had in really understanding and gauging my level of knowledge. But I do think I came in with, I remember one of the first trainings at Microsoft that I went into, I really struggled to understand and put together the concept of the cloud that I had, which was, oh, your data, your information is just kind of flying through space, and you're interacting with the internet and you can't see it. You know, I think it becomes this thing that you, it's almost like a God complex, like you can't see it, you can't touch it, you're not really sure what it is, but that's not true. And I think whenever I really understood, hey, there are servers somewhere, and these servers are just not on premises, they're going to be in a data center. And I think really making the concept, that was, for me, the revelation that I had. I think I had just thought of things, I had taken influences from people that were non-technical, and then I had a little bit of knowledge from, obviously, I've been a developer, I've created applications, I understand the concept of a server. So I think when I thought, okay, put those two things together, the cloud is not a cloud, it's not up in the sky, it is a server sitting somewhere. And I remember looking at a data center in the Charlotte Microsoft office and really starting to understand that, okay, when I put something in, you know, OneDrive, for example, or whatever the case is, that's actually just, you know, a server that's on premise at a data center somewhere that Microsoft has. So, yeah, I do think that I kind of did come from that. But I think it was easier to learn once I overcame kind of the initial, okay, it makes sense now. I can put these pieces together.
Right. Now, speaking of the data centers, because, you know, I've seen that one in Charlotte, and it's actually smaller than it used to be. We used to do a lot of our testing and reproducing customer issues there. Have you had an opportunity to go see one of our real data centers and kind of see the scale of that?
Yet? I haven't. I mean, that is one of my, I think, dreams, because I think, you know, I've done the virtual online tour, which is awesome, and I think even that is really impressive, but I haven't seen all of the server rooms or anything in a data center, but it's definitely something that's on my bucket list.
Yeah, I highly encourage. So I unfortunately have not had the opportunity to go. I try and travel as little as possible, most of the sites that you can see and do tours of are the couple data centers that are near our, you know, our Redmond headquarters. So scheduling has not worked out, but I know a number of people that have gone, and, you know, they come back just wowed in terms of the scale of everything. Cause you know, everybody's kind of seen the little data center, like you were talking about, like, you know, somebody's server room in a corporate office somewhere, or, you know, what we have in Charlotte, you know, where you maybe have, you know, I don't know, a couple hundred servers, things like that. Right. And then walk into this place where we have, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of them. You know, just kind of is a totally different scale at that point.
Absolutely, yeah. I think even just understanding that. Oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Kendall. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say, kind of going through this process of being at Microsoft and getting this exposure to technologies that I didn't necessarily understand as much of the underlying infrastructure or the processes that happen to make interactions that I do day to day in using, you know, my phone or my computer, just really understanding the full process and what is happening behind the scenes has kind of reinvigorated my passion for technology and wanting to learn, because you just realize how truly impressive it is and how connected all of the things that we are doing are. So I think in a way it almost, walking into a data center gives you perspective on just how great of a field we're in and how exciting it is and how we're connecting people. And I think that's really exciting.
So I was going to ask you, Kendall, okay, so now you've made the initial, leap to understanding what cloud computing is. How did you take it to the next level where, you kind of got a little more, maybe understood how applications work in the cloud? Or like, well, what was your next step beyond that? Let me ask that way.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to speak from a place of kind of my experience, but also related to other people who are in a similar position. I think I had to overcome my initial fear of, I was almost paralyzed by not knowing enough and so intimidated by the amount of things to learn that at first I think I kind of shied away. My initial reaction was, whoa, this is really complicated. There's so many moving pieces that I don't understand or haven't worked with. And I think once I overcame, hey, nobody really knows this super well. You're on the forefront of a constantly evolving technology, and cloud computing is still something that even people who have been in IT for years are learning alongside me. So I think once I gave myself the forget, it's okay to not know, and I stopped being afraid to ask the questions that may have seemed really basic and that I felt like I should have known after college, I think that was kind of the first step in dipping my toe in, getting deeper, because I wasn't afraid to ask basic questions, which allowed me to then kind of grow in that space. But I also recommend for people coming out of college that want to learn about Azure, AWS, even if you're not working at Microsoft or at an IT company, I think that certification really does help you transition from the style of college learning that you had to actually gaining this new knowledge in something that wasn't necessarily in school. So what I did was I put on my list, here's the certifications that I feel would help me to learn what I need to learn. So it wasn't as much about the end goal of, hey, I need to get this certification for any specific reason, other than it gives me a structured learning path that I can follow to dip my toe in deeper into Azure. And I think that that was a great, great decision, because once I did that, after I had kind of gotten into some of the content, I then said, okay, I have this conceptual knowledge, and that's similar to how it was in college, but I never really learn anything until I jump in. But I needed to kind of lower the threshold of, I don't know what I'm doing.
No, that's actually...
That's when I started to just... Yeah, go ahead.
Very insightful there. Just a little tidbit of a story from the podcast itself. When we, the three of us originally, K11 and myself, we first started this podcast back in 2013, we figured, we'll talk about some of the Azure technologies, and, in about 10 or 15 episodes, we'll be done, right?
207 later, you're probably...
Yeah, we are. Exactly. And, just a testament to what you just said. There's so much that goes into Azure. It just keeps on growing, and we're not sure if there's going to be any end in sight, at least from a podcast perspective, but similarly, from the technologies that are coming out, they're coming out so quick and so furiously that you have to keep up.
We've even talked about that in the context of whenever you go design something or develop something, mm-hmm. Take a few minutes and step back and say, is there a service that will do what I need?
Right.
Right. Because it is moving so fast, and it is, there is always something to learn every week. You're closer to Azure than you were, I think, when we first started doing this.
Absolutely.
And Kale, you're kind of in and out depending on kind of what you're currently doing at the time. But I'm in this stuff day in, day out. I've been for a decade, and I still learn stuff every week on the podcast with y'all. I mean, it's just there's no way to avoid it. I mean, I don't think there's any shame whatsoever in admitting that you don't know all of Azure, because I don't know anybody that does.
Yeah, and I think it takes patience. I think even early in your career, one thing that has been a constant reminder that I have to tell myself is – everything takes commitment, and you have to see things through, and you have to be dedicated to your professional career, and but also just to being patient with not knowing and being committed to the quest of that knowledge. So I think for me, realizing I'm not going to learn Azure, one certification doesn't mean I'm going to know Azure. I'm never going to get to a point where I say, okay, I know Azure. And so I think just being patient with myself and the learning process, and realizing, hey, I'm not an Azure engineer. I'm not working. Unlike you, Evan, I'm not working on this day in and day out. So how do I allow myself to learn in bits and pieces? And I think another facet of that is whatever project you're on, whatever career path you're in, finding ways to expand your knowledge set in relation to cloud computing. So I know on my current project, yes, I am a C# server-side developer, and it is a console application, but we are hosting our application in an app service environment. So I reached out to a couple on my team and said, hey, I understand that I have a learning curve in what I'm doing now, and I'm still trying to figure this out, but I do want to know how this fits in. I want to know the context. I want to understand how what I'm doing, how does this get deployed? What does that process look like? What is, are you using ARM templates? Throwing out words I've heard, like ARM templates and the different environments and how you spin up certain, you know, VMs and scaling back. I know all of those things and I've learned them, but asking them within the context of what I'm doing has allowed me to gain Azure knowledge when it wasn't necessarily what my main purpose has been on this project, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think the other thing, just to ride on what Evan was saying, like, or Sajid, the idea of like, okay, so once you get some experience, you know, and you're building apps and you're doing all these things, you got to be able to be like, okay, so we're building a new app here, or we're going to do this new thing, not just throwing away like what you've done before, but not holding on to it very tightly. You know, it's like, okay, so we built a process using Service Bus and we did all this thing, and it's like, okay, so now we have to do this other project. It's like, should we just duplicate what we did there, or has something advanced and we should be using like Event Grid and kind of throw out some of that stuff we did before? So it's the ability to let go of, you know, and not just hold on to, well, this is the way we do it and we just keep doing it this way, you know. Mm-hmm.
But Kale, I love my code.
Like, yeah.
I don't want to throw my code away.
You're just refining it. That's all. It's like,
yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
So, well, yeah, go ahead, David.
No, go ahead, Sujit.
Well, I was just going to ask, like, okay, what was the next step in her process? But go finish your thought.
That's kind of where I was going as well. Is you know, kind of Kendall, as you talked about kind of some misconceptions you had coming out, and you talked about kind of how you have learned things. Like, where do you want to take your knowledge of the cloud next? I mean, there are specific technologies you're, you know, super interested in learning. Is it, you know, specific scenarios, lift and shift, or, you know, think designing SaaS servers? Like, what's kind of your next, the next thing you're doing in this space?
Yeah. So just for a little bit of context, some of the things I have done, you know, in my line of work over the past year and a half to get exposure to Azure, I started doing a shadow, and I learned a lot about machine learning. And so I thought that was really, really neat. And what's cool about Azure, I think, is that there are so many things that are, yes, advanced concepts. Like, machine learning is advanced, and it can be as complicated or simple as the algorithm that you're trying to create or whatever the process flow is. But I think that the portals make it really easy to kind of decompose the different services we had. So I started out and I did a shadow in machine learning and started building basic, you know, data flows and different models, and then it got a little bit more complicated and I was asking questions, and then that turned into, I had an opportunity to work with the bot service and I created my first bot, and that was really, really neat. And learning how to host my application in Azure and all those things, I wouldn't have learned as much about them if I hadn't taken the initiative to say, okay, I don't know everything, I'm never going to know everything, so now it's just time to start applying what, take that little knowledge and have the confidence that I can learn. So then I started working on bots and worked on some Cosmos DB, integrated that in with the bot, kind of just on my own fruition. And then I had an opportunity to work with Operation Management Suite and creating the alert system based on network insights and things like that. So I think what I'm really excited about moving forward after kind of all of those different moving pieces that I've learned about is figuring out more about serverless compute and using logic apps and functions. I think that has been what's really piqued my interest. I did some of that on the bot project and also working with OMS and the alerts. And so I think I would love to see myself kind of go into Azure Compute or serverless computing and learning about how I can take the code that I'm building, the APIs that I'm writing, and optimize those by using Azure Functions or writing my own logic apps and figuring out ways that I can take some of the burden off of, you know, just writing all the code myself and figuring out ways that I can optimize the process to create those in the future. So I think just from a next step in my learning path, that's where I would like to go and what I'd like to do.
And I think that makes a lot of sense, Kendall, because I see that, you know, you've mentioned all the technologies that are all new technologies in Azure, right? They're recent technologies, but they're also technologies that I think folks coming out of college are attracted to because it allows them to focus less on writing too much of code and more on using some of the, you know, higher level kind of instances of the features that are available in Azure. And it's nice to see, you know, that you kind of gravitated towards that, because Serverless is the future. These are all the future technologies, and you've kind of figured it out that that's where it's going to be. So, I would say your path is the correct path right now, is the way I would say it.
Yeah. And I like, and just one point on that for anyone that is kind of trying to figure out what they want to do and what their learning path is. One thing that I kind of wrote down when I was thinking about this is, you can learn Azure from certain levels of abstraction. You know, you can go in, you can spin up a VM, or you can do things that require less customization, or no, you know, you might not need to use PowerShell scripting or whatever the case is. And so I think thinking about Azure that way, learning it kind of high level at a further level of abstraction away from what's going on in the back end, and then getting into, hey, I want to customize this, or maybe I want to try a deployment using ARM templates or whatever the case is, that helped me. And then also just, you think about Microsoft Flow is a product that I really like, and I think has been really neat for me. I use it to automate a lot of the different daily tasks that I have. Mm-hmm. So start with Microsoft Flow, which is built using Logic Apps. And then once you feel like you've gotten the hang of that interface and you're kind of abstracted away, then get into Logic Apps. And once you feel comfortable with Logic Apps, then go into Functions. So I kind of like to think about it at the different layers of decomposition, how you can get deeper and deeper without being too intimidated to go to the next level.
That's very, very insightful, Kendall. That's great. I think you've figured out cloud computing, I safe to say. So good stuff there. So so you've given us a lot of tips for folks coming out of college that can, if they want to follow their path into Azure or into cloud computing, some of the ways they can do that. Are there any kind of parting thoughts you want to leave the listeners with in terms of your journey and what they can do to achieve similar success?
Yes, I think I do. So one thing that I think has propelled me in this direction and has been enlightening to me is that it's easy sometimes to think that asking for help is going to inconvenience someone else. I think sometimes saying, okay, I don't know this, I don't know how to do it, I don't know where to start, I think sometimes when you get in that situation, sometimes you just don't start at all. And I think that having people such as yourself that know Azure, that are deep in Azure, and realizing that not only do I think that there are a ton of people that want to help me learn, I also think that by not asking questions, I've started to look at it as I'm robbing someone who really understands it from sharing their knowledge. So I think when you take it from that perspective and say, not only am I probably not inconveniencing this person, I'm allowing them to use knowledge that they've been building, and I might even present something to them that they haven't thought about. That has been what I think is the critical success factor, is just reaching out for help and realizing that help is also in some way going to help the person that you're asking. So don't be afraid to dive in and jump in, and don't be afraid to not know, and don't be afraid to ask for help, because I think that it will definitely prove to be more beneficial in the long run than kind of trying to do everything yourself and allowing the sheer amount of learning to keep you from learning anything.
That's great. Good. Very, very good feedback there for our listeners. Well, Kendall, this has been an awesome discussion with you. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all your journey from college to Microsoft and to Azure. So thank you for that. And, if you have any links or any, trainings that you thought were useful to you, please send them to me and we'll add them to the show notes so, we can always share. In the spirit of sharing, we can share some of that with our listeners as well. So if you have any of that, just send them to me and we'll put them there.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you all so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I hope someday I can have my a podcast like this where I'm able to share some of the insights I've learned. But it's a process, like I said. I'll get there someday, hopefully.
I think that day is not too far away. all right, Kendall and Kale, I think Evan had to drop out already, but Kale, thanks for all the questions.
Yeah, thanks, Kendall, for coming.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.